Hey, welcome to Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Matt.
That's Matt. We were talking a little before we started recording about insurance and how that shit works. What I was going to say was my dentist, when I started going to not the Indian clinic, but a dentist I have to pay for, which is fucking crazy expensive. Like, most money I've ever spent on me. People think I got, like I spent too much on a watch or something. I'm like, no. Just keeping your teeth okay is very expensive. Like, my teeth aren't even fucking done. Like, I'm just keeping them from falling out of my head. But I asked him about insurance. I was like, hey, I'm just here for a cleaning and get a general idea. I know it's going to cost whatever. But he was like, you're paying cash today? I was like, yeah. And he goes, you know, we take insurance, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm aware you take it, but I don't have insurance and I haven't really found a policy that seems like it's worth it. And he waited till I had an opinion on it because he didn't want to make me feel dumb. And he said, so, like, you shopped around a little bit for insurance and you're just not happy with basically the return on investment? And I was like, yeah, it's basically, from what I can tell, if it has a $3,000 cap per year, my copay plus my premium is exactly $3,000. So they only make money when I don't use it, but they always make money if I don't use it, and they never lose money. Where if I have insurance and 500 other people do, the way insurance should work, in my mind, is when you're not getting your teeth done and you're paying your premium and there's five of you, I can go get my teeth taken care of because I need it. And that's what insurance is supposed to do. We're basically pooling everybody's money. The insurance company takes a little cream off the top and then has something left over to spread around. And then he said, yeah, I've actually looked into every insurance company currently. He said he can't find one where you can save money by having insurance. Like, he said he literally can't find one where you can save money by paying cash for insurance. If your employer kicks in, that's different.
Right.
But if you have to pay for your own insurance on, now this is dental, not health. Some health insurance would actually save you money. You're going to pay, let's say, $1,800 a year. And then they're going to have a $1,200 cap. You can't do more than $1,200 worth of dental work in the year. But you get free cleanings all year with your, you know, $30 copay and a cleaning. A cleaning's like $200. So when you add it all up, their $1,200 cap plus the cleanings, you're only going to get two cleanings. They're making money if you use your insurance to the furthest of your abilities. You would have been better off putting that cash in an envelope and then bringing it to your dentist. And when I told him that, he's like, yeah, no, that is exactly how it works. Just people don't like it when I say that because they think I'm a conspiracy theorist. I was like, why is that a conspiracy theory? That's literally numbers on paper.
Right.
Like, it's the only thing people would call you conspiracy theorist for that I can actually prove with math. Now, that being said, I'm sure somebody out there will hear or see this if let's say this got a bunch of views and somebody would for sure be like, oh, actually, there's this company, you know, if you show them your income, they do this and they do this and they adjust it and you can actually save a lot of money. That's probably true.
Yeah.
But if you just go to the top 10 regular insurance companies, you can't get dental insurance, pay cash for it, and save money while going to your choice of dentist. You could go to the cheapest dentist in the world and probably get everything done. But those guys usually love insurance and they bill insurance more than they bill you, and then you're still fucked. And that was the other thing. Like, he was like, okay, your cash price is like, let's say your cash price for today is $600. Your insurance price would be $1,200. And he told me, he was like, I don't tell most people this, but he was like, I technically, on some insurance, break even, and on other stuff, make a ton of money off of it. But there's a lot of break-even jobs on insurance. When it's cash pay, it's never break-even. He's always making a profit. It's just not always a big one.
Right.
And I was like, then why do people get it? Because it makes them feel secure and people can't manage their money.
Right. It helps people. They're, instead of going and buying a car outright, they're financing it.
Same concept as, like, whole life insurance versus term life insurance.
Right.
Like, if you have term life insurance, that makes sense. Because if I die today and I'm paying $75 a month to make sure my kids get, you know, $500,000 or something, that makes sense because $75 a month is not going to make up to $500,000 in the time that term runs.
Right.
So that's good for me. But if I get whole life insurance and I keep paying on it, I've actually looked into this. Whole life insurance still makes sense because so many people pay for it for 10 years and then stop that life insurance companies have a different business model than other insurance companies.
Right.
So if we have 100 people paying in $500 a year and three of them stop short at 10 years and then they don't die, that's enough to pay for one person's death. Which, that sounds weird when you say pay for one person's death. When COVID hit, there were all these economists having to put the price of a life, like,
Yeah.
Should we take care of old people or young people and all that shit? Oh,
could you imagine that job, though? How do you put a value, a number value on a person's life?
Okay, so it's going to sound cold, but they don't think of it as it's a person. They think of it as the utility of a person. And it's actually not that complicated. Like, you have to separate yourself from the job.
Right.
You go, okay, I'm not putting a value on this person's life. I'm treating this person as a car.
Have you ever come down here for the open mic?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Do they still do it?
This underneath this whole that Rick House Brewery.
Yeah.
Right here in this corner. That's where it's at.
I like this area. This is cool.
Yeah, it's cool as shit. There's the old Baker Hotel on the other side.
That's where we're staying tonight?
No, it's not open yet.
Oh, okay. That?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And that's going to be a hotel? And we're in Mineral Wells just...
Yeah, Mineral Wells, Texas. So this is where the Baker Hotel and Mineral Wells, it's thought of to have the healing power of the minerals in the water and all that. You can buy... It's called crazy water here. At different levels, like there's 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And 4 is diarrhea?
Yeah. They say if your body's not used to having that many minerals,
right,
it can jack with your bowels, I guess. But in the Baker Hotel, I guess I don't know if they had bathhouses or whatever. So it was like people would travel here from all over to stay in this massive hotel.
That little theater is cool.
Not open yet. They're still working on it.
I like Mineral Wells.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a shithole.
So this is where I wanted to try to put together a comedy festival.
This would be a cool place for it.
Because there's a place across the street, catty corner from the place I told you, the open mic. Mm-hmm. There's a place over there. It's got a really cool small back room in it that you could do stuff. And it's got a patio with a stage out back, like in a courtyard.
That sounds cool.
So that's cool. Then it's got this little theater here. It's got the place where we do the open mic. Across the street from the place to do this open mic is another old theater that they're working on.
You said it's not open yet, but they got an event tomorrow. 9/16, 5 to 10.
Yeah, but it's not here.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not here. They just advertise on their marquee.
Okay, gotcha.
That's how they're making money right now, is advertising on the marquee.
Okay. But no, this is cool. Brandy said she liked it when she went here for a bike ride, but it's also the home of... what's that? Trenton Tebow.
Yep.
It's the home of Trenton Tebow. No, that's why I thought it was a shithole, because there's jokes about it. Like, maybe, I forgot what he said, but what is their claim to fame besides this? He said their other thing, besides the mineral water, was something.
And the Baker Hotel.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it looks cool to me.
Yeah, it's a really cool little town, I think.
I think you should do the festival here.
I think it'd be cool. Come down here.
Take a lot of
work. I think if you turn right there at that last highway, that takes you straight to Fort Worth. And it's less than an hour.
Yeah, we're
you keep going down 281 here, and you're a couple hours from Austin.
2.5, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean,
that's pretty. What is that?
I don't know.
Dude, that looked like it would make a great yoga studio. There's just a big open glass.
Interested in starting a yoga studio?
No. I'm saying I think that might be what it is.
Oh.
Like, it just looks like it's already built for it, and it looks like it was recently built.
Old Studebaker pickup. I like them old trucks. Like, I had a 1949 Chevy pickup once. Had big bubble body style, big fenders so cool. And stuff. I bought it off a lady for $900. Still had the original straight six in it. Got it to where it would fire and turn over and stuff, and then hit hard times and sold it for way less than I should have.
Yeah.
One of those deals. Mad at myself.
Every time somebody says straight six in a truck, I just guess 3 on the tree, but I don't know what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only transmission configuration that I know I haven't driven. Like, I've driven, when I worked for Billingsley, I drove those 6-speed Mustangs all the time. So now when I get in Brandy's mom's car to back it up, I put it in 5th instead of reverse every time to try to go into reverse.
Oh, is that little Mazda? It's a standard?
Yeah. Yeah, it gets great gas mileage.
That's what I was going to ask you. How much were y'all going to ask for it?
We don't know. I looked at Kelly Blue Book, and the problem with Kelly Blue Book is it's hard to say, like, okay, but it has minor random damage, and it's worn, like, the dash is worn down from the sun and shit.
Right.
Like, putting a good condition on it, Kelly Blue Book's already way off, usually. But Kelly Blue Book said, like, almost $6,000. I know we're not getting $6,000 for it.
No.
But I would hope to get over 3.
Yeah.
I feel like 35, so maybe ask for and hope for the best, like, is kind of where I'm at right now. But I don't know. And I told Brandy this morning, like, it's, you know, I'll probably have it all the way detailed out and looking decent. I'm going to polish the headlights and shit. I should be able to do that in the next week or so. And with the weather cooling off, since its air conditioner sucks, like, I'll tell people the air conditioner sucks, but I don't want that to be
charged.
Probably.
I bet you can change the cabin filter in it and it'll make a world of difference.
It did. It was all clogged up, but it didn't. It made a difference. It didn't.
Because Tana's got the same car, but a little bit newer.
Two filters down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she changed the cabin filter in hers, and she's freezing me out in that son of a bitch now. And it's usually the other way around. She's always complaining about being cold.
Right.
Now we get her. I think she's just proud of it because she
did it.
She did it herself.
And it's a complicated one to change too. It's way up in there.
So now she just wants to run the AC at max all the time. Yeah. I'm just in the driver's seat shivering.
Well, usually they're behind the glove box and they're really easy to change. And that one's not hard. It's just fucking dumb. Like, you get there and you go, it's further? And then you're just pulling shit out. Yeah, that's a... I don't know. I'm thinking 35 is probably the goal. But what we want to do is sell the car, take the money, and then take a quick family trip. And I'm thinking if we didn't have to take... And not have to is not the right word. If we weren't taking Brandy's brother, then I would say we just go to Red River because I got a place I can stay there for free.
Yeah.
But we can't take 8 people or 9 people to Red River in this little 2-bedroom that I can borrow for free. Like, we can, and they would let us,
in
but I don't
Red River, New Mexico? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brother's in-laws have a little cabin out there. It's a little 2-bedroom, or I guess it's considered a ski lodge.
Yeah.
But it's your walking distance from the slopes, but you can't, like, ski right up to it. It's, like, across the street and down the road. Like, you're probably a mile from the slopes. But you can, like, if you want to, you can just hop on the trolley they have there. I don't know if you've ever... Mm-hmm. They have that trolley. You can hop on that, and they'll take you to the candy shop on the way to the fucking slopes or whatever. Like, you just do that. But I want to do a really cheap trip where that whole $3,500 will cover everything, and we both have enough to cover our loss of income while we're gone.
Right.
So, like, because, I mean, I say both, but, like, Brandy and his girlfriend also both work, but... Brandy not working for a week or Brandy working, she can just double appointments the week before and the week after.
Right.
And have more money at the end of the month. I don't really have room to double my appointments.
Right.
Like, I could, but that'd be, well, not really. I can't do 8 tattoos a week. I mean, I could. I shouldn't. Tattoo 7 days a week, and one of them I'm doing 2 6-hour tattoos. That sounds terrible. But that's all my, like, negotiating power in my head. The only reason I'm not going to just let it go super cheap is just so it'll cover all that, because we want to, I mean, it was their parents' car, so it's like, I don't get any of the money. Mary, Cameron's girlfriend, shouldn't get any of the money either. But if we all go on a family trip, and, like, that's probably what Kelly would want us to do with, we're guessing.
So, right.
And I mean, I'm guessing, but I knew her really well. I'm pretty positive. She'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, do that.
Right.
Like, if she was here, she'd be like, well, I'm dead. You can't buy me something. Sell the car. Go have fun. Like, she might make fun of us for it. But yeah, we were just thinking, like, maybe Galveston or something. Just a... What can you do where you can put $1,000 in each family's bank account, mm-hmm. be gone for a week, and do it for around $2,000? Or less. I would say Galveston's easy.
Yeah, go to the beach. Beach is not, you know, find you a nice spot to rent for, you know, whatever.
Yeah, usually we go to Texas beaches that are kind of weird, but you stay a block away from the beach, you bring your bicycles, and you never actually ride them to the beach because you realize how much beach you got to ride through to get, so you just walk, so you actually walk the second, third, fourth, and fifth day. But you stay a mile or less away from it, usually if you can, a block away. But yeah. Not right on the ocean, because that's expensive. But Galveston area, like Surf City or Surfside, I think it's Surfside Beach.
Yeah.
That shit, we stayed there one time for, it was $180 a night, and we stayed for like 4 or 5 nights, and we went to the grocery store once, and that whole trip was probably $1,000.
Right.
Like, it was like, I mean, the Airbnb was 80% of our cost, gas is another 15%, and our groceries were nothing. Like, it was really not bad.
We went a couple, it's been a few years now. We went, we rented a Airbnb in Waveland, Mississippi, which is right down on the coast. Big, fancy. Of course, there was 3 families that went.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's the best
there were 4 families, but it was a big 3-story house on stilts. Like,
yeah.
Tana and I sat on the balcony out of our bedroom and watched a storm on the Gulf. It was probably one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. And you just watch the storm come across the water to you.
What time of year did y'all do that?
It was before school got back in, so, you know.
So summer.
Yeah, summertime.
Okay, that's usually we do a trip in August just because it's like a good time to do it.
End of July, beginning of August.
Well, why I ask is we'll probably do this in the winter even if it is a beach trip.
Yeah.
And just go, okay, well, we're going to a cold beach. Because, like, Texas beaches get cold in the winter. It's not, you're not going to go play in the water. But it's still pretty at night, and you can still do, like, a lot of them have, like, boardwalks and whatever. And Anessa, my niece, has a blast if you take her anywhere with, like, a fucking Ferris wheel or, like...
Yeah,
it's not hard to entertain... I think she's 9. It's not hard to entertain people her age, especially girls her age. It's just got to be pretty...
And down there at Galveston, they've got that big carnival thing down there. I saw it. I didn't go down to it. I have no idea. Some even these traveling carnivals that pop up in parking lots in your town now, like, and there's it's fucking $30 for an armband and shit. Like, holy shit, it costs $30 just for the kid to get in.
One at Galveston was really expensive. Yeah, this is a crazy part of Texas I didn't know about. Like, I mean, I knew it existed, but I haven't seen this. Like, have you been to Marble Falls? It's my favorite part of Texas so far. It's near Austin. It's beautiful. But it reminds me of this. It's just like, it's considered hill country. It looks like this all over, except there's like waterfalls and the Colorado River. I believe it's the Colorado River runs through it. So it's just really cool looking. This is more like my idea of a nice place to live, where I think Brandy would prefer like a Marble Falls or somewhere with a beach. Like, this to me is like, dude, you know you're going to see fucking deer and all kinds of cool shit at night.
I don't think Brandy would like something like this.
No, she does. Riding her bike and shit. She likes all the nature. But if you let her pick, like, her absolute favorites, it's going to be more water and pretty stuff that moves.
Yeah. Like, see, that's Tana, like, we're always talking about, like, where you want to take a trip, where you want to go. Tana wants to go to the beach every time.
I love
it. Let's go to the beach. And I'm like, the beach is all right, but it's the same. It's sand and water. Like, I want to go see other shit. I want to go do stuff.
So that's the thing. I'm more into the idea of exploring. But if I'm bringing the kids, I like the beach better because they can have fun all day and I'm not tired or frustrated. I learned really quick, tours that require listening are not for people with kids under 5. Like, we went to the fucking Alcatraz thing.
Yeah.
I about lost my fucking mind. I think it was Asher, but one of our kids was a baby. And I am listening. I am fascinated by this shit. This is like all the mobsters were locked up here and all the, like, all the cool history behind the place and like the shit they did with forks trying to dig through walls and just so much cool shit. And every time I got to a point where I knew what was happening, I had to fucking escort this baby that was screaming away from the group. And then every other time Brandy would do, we were just taking turns. I don't know what the fuck the guy said. Like, this whole tour guide thing, we paid money, went out there, I didn't learn shit. I knew it was cool, and then I didn't get to, it'd be like if you started 100 movies and never finished one. It fucking drove me nuts. I got blue balls like a motherfucker from that. Not literally, like brain blue balls. I wanted to know so much shit about Alcatraz that I did not fucking learn because I had a baby with me. And like, now, by the time Mila was that age, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. When they're under 2, you probably don't take them on anything where it's about learning shit.
Right.
They're going to get in the way. And it's not like, not the kid's fault. That's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be fucking sticking their finger in things they're not supposed to and breaking shit and throwing things. And it's what babies do. Like, that's how they learn. Like, when people tell their kids not to touch things all the time, I'm like, yeah, tell them not to touch it if it's like a fork and an outlet.
Right.
Like, sometimes, let them get that little fucking sticker, dude. It's not bad.
Yeah.
There was a piece of, like, a framed piece of art or a TV on the side of the road. I don't know which it was.
Did you want it?
No.
You stopped and get it.
Oh, speaking of TVs, though, we were looking at TVs at Walmart today.
Yeah.
I want to put a small-ish TV, like a bigger than a 32, but nothing over 40. Like a 30, I don't know if they make a 36, but like a medium, what most people now would call a small TV, in my booth.
Yeah.
And they're like $200 for most of them. They're not crazy expensive anymore. And that just led us to, I wonder what the giant, your whole wall TV is. They're only $1,200 for one that's going to cover half my fucking living room. Like, my living room can become a movie theater for $1,200.
Yeah.
I thought they were still like $3,000. I didn't know they were that cheap. Like, I always judge people by their TV in their car. I go, this guy does not know how to handle money. Like, if your TV is bigger than my house, fuck you. But, like, okay, if your TV covered that bridge. But no, like, anything that's over 75 inches, I just assume you're insane.
Yeah.
until I saw the prices, I was like, shit, why do we have a fucking 64-inch TV? This is stupid.
Yeah.
But same with cars. Like, if I know your car costs more than you make in a year, I just cannot look at you the same way ever. This is fucking gorgeous, dude. Let's do Mineral Wells.
All right.
Okay. So, the Mineral Wells open, like, it takes place on Mondays. They still doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, but Wayne?
It's on Tuesday.
Oh. Well, every Wayne told me about Tuesday. It, like, six times, and I couldn't make it the first couple times. And yeah. Then I thought he quit doing it because...
Well, he's been...
stopped talking about it.
He's been having, like... So, now Trenton... hosts it sometimes, okay. And you know, shit like that.
But they
so.
Still, it's still running consistently.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
As far as I know.
That's cool. I could go out here. I got to talk to Trenton about the fact that I haven't watched his entire set. That he's. Oh wow! Do you see the brickwork over there? Uh-huh. Sorry, I'm my mom today. Everything's fascinating. Hold on, people on the internet. This is beautiful too. What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, the rock.
That looks like a, that looks like some shit like when you watch a movie where like John Wayne got locked up in Mexico and then some nice lady takes her to her place and her husband's rich. That's the rich husband's house.
Yeah.
Okay. Trenton had somebody tell him he stole a joke from me. Neither one of us remember which joke it was. He texted me about it.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to watch a video. I told him I would and I watched part of it. So technically I'm not wrong yet. But I can't get through it because of the audio quality. And this is a weird hang-up, and I know it doesn't affect other people the same way it does me, but if you had to pick, if you could have perfect audio on every video, and okay video, or okay audio and perfect video, which would you choose? Because, like, visually speaking, it's easier to look at something that's pretty. But audio fucks me up.
I guess I would be, yeah, I would rather have okay video and better audio, because I am very, but at the same time, like, I won't just listen to a podcast. Right. I have to watch it.
You have to see it.
And I'll put it on like this, where I just prop it up, and so I just glance at it every once in a while, yeah. But then there's other times where, like, if the music is too low in the vehicle, I would just soon turn it off.
Same.
Like, if it's not where I can hear it clearly, I'd just assume not even hear it at all.
I'm on the same page with that. But my thing with the audio versus video is, if the video's terrible, but I can see the silhouette of a person and see their physical movements and even barely make out their facial expressions, but I can hear it perfectly, comedy is 90% audio. Like, the visual shit, it depends on who it is.
Right.
Cody Troutman's 50-50. A lot of his shit is physical. Like, he jumps around. That's how Jim Carrey was. Like,
right.
There were faces involved. But most comics, you could just listen to them. And if the jokes are good, it's still funny.
Yeah.
So when it's hard to understand what they're saying due to the audio quality, or in the case of the video of Trenton, there's just so much, like, humming in the background. There's this long pause where nobody's talking.
Yeah.
And during that long pause, like, he's just trying to hold tension. All I can hear is the fucking air conditioner because the camera's close to the air conditioner. And all these things are really minor and they don't bother normal people, and I understand that. But they drive me fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So I spent about 5 minutes trying to watch a 15-minute video, and I got about 3 minutes into it with some breaks because I give myself breaks. That's how I get through shit. That dog looked like he was having some problems with the leash. But yeah, it's like I just want to watch the video and find what joke it is that may or may not have been one of my jokes. But if he's trying to get me to watch the video at the one he thinks somebody said he stole a joke at, then I assume he didn't steal a joke. Like, that seems fair.
Yeah.
But if it's parallel thinking or whatever, like, I think people get way too caught up on some of this shit. And we've talked about it before, but after we talked about it, you said that would have been a good podcast. So we can kind of rehash that. But,
yeah. He had messaged me about it and was wanting to know. And it eventually got to the point, I said, hey, look, man, like, if you didn't steal a joke, you didn't steal a joke. Nobody's talked to me about you stealing a joke. No, right. Nobody's come to me and said, oh, I think Trenton's stealing Andrew's joke or anybody else's joke for that matter.
Right.
I said, so as long as you know that you're not stealing a joke, just keep doing what you're doing. Absolutely. If somebody says something to you, go, oh, do you know what joke it is? I assure you I didn't steal it, but if it's too close, I can change it. I can drop it. I can talk to the other person, whatever. But don't, you can't, like, now, because joke theft, which is a bad thing, I'm certainly not defending, but it's been blown up now to where that's the go-to. That's what people complain about. That's what people want to, oh, yeah, he's just a joke thief.
Yeah.
Well, even if he's not, you know, that's the worst thing you can say about somebody.
Yeah. It's like accusing somebody of rape.
Right.
Like, not, it's not the same degree, but in comedy, it's...
Right.
If comedy's a separate world, it's the worst thing in that world.
Yeah.
And it's a hard-to-shake title.
It's better for somebody to go, you're not very funny or you're not very good at comedy than it is for them to say, you're a joke thief.
Right, so I get, like, if I was in the scenario where somebody thought I stole a joke, it would bother me that people are out there thinking I stole a joke. I get it.
Yeah.
But my take on it is, and again, this is a very, I've repeated this to you more than once, but, like, the Leno's quote of, if somebody steals your joke, write another joke, is, in my opinion, the most self-preserving, smartest way to think of it. When you're accused of it, I don't know how you approach it. But when somebody else steals your joke, the fact that people get so mad about it that they're going to, like... Okay, if somebody steals my joke and I have proof that I did it before them, I would like to talk to them and go, hey, it could have been parallel thinking. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But how about we agree that I was doing that before you, so you don't do it anymore.
Right.
And a normal, fair person will go, I didn't even know you were doing that. It is parallel thinking. I'm really sorry. Obviously didn't mean to do it, but I'll totally drop that joke. Or at the very least, I won't do that joke in the same state you usually work in.
Right.
Like, and that's...
Or even if they did steal the joke, that's going to be what they say.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it was parallel thinking.
But
I didn't do it.
If they do, then fucking leave it at that.
Right.
Take them at their word, even if you're pretty sure they're lying, because you're not going to be able to prove it.
Right.
You can't prove what somebody... You can prove that they wrote down the same words as you after you wrote them down. You can't prove they heard you say it unless you have... Maybe you're lucky one time and you have a video of two people going, dude, so the other day, I heard Andrew making a joke and I'm going to fucking do... Like, what's the likelihood of you getting that on video?
Right.
So, the fact that you're not going to prove it, and it's just going to eat you up. Like, anything that's eating at you and bothering you that you can let go is worth letting go. And Jay Leno's thing, again, I think is just fucking brilliant. Just like, it's a joke. It's a thing you created, so you can do it again. That person can't. Therefore, you're already better than them. You're winning. Keep fucking winning. Write more jokes. Like, let it be motivation to go, yeah, that might have been one of my favorite jokes, and it was 3 minutes long. So I'll write 3 one-minute jokes and see if I can stretch one out to 3 minutes and make it my new favorite joke. Fuck that joke. Like, just, if you have to let it go, let it go. Like, even if that means you don't do it anymore.
I can go based on that mentality if it happens once.
Yeah, if the same person's doing it a lot, you go fucking kick them in the dick.
Right.
But the thing is, like, there's just a point where it's just not worth your energy. It's the same as, like, learning to separate people stealing from you from people stealing for them. Nobody's ever stole from me to hurt me, that I know of. People have stole from me a lot to gain something. Some people have stole from other people just to harm them. Like, some people be like, oh shit, I'm gonna take his favorite, whatever. That's fucked up. That's a different level of fucked up. But people don't do a lot of shit to you to, they're not attacking you when they steal your joke. They're just a lazy piece of shit that can't write a joke.
Right.
So that's not a you issue. That's a, I wrote a joke worth stealing. Give yourself a little pat on the back. Keep fucking going. That being said, I agree. If it's a repeated offense, like, you know, I mean, there's a level to everything. I don't know. I just, it seems like all the things people get really worked up about, I used to get worked up about the tattoo equivalent to them, and I think that has protected me from getting stressed out about comedy. Like, the only things that stress me out in comedy right now are if I'm running late for something or there's a lot of people asking me to do something and I'm trying to do something else.
Right.
Like, when I'm setting up at Comedy Avenue, every fucking time I'm freaking out. Because there's five people that go, well, I know he runs it, so I'm going to ask him, where's the pizza at? You're standing right next to the fucking table, dude. Just grab a slice. What the fuck are you doing? Like, everybody asks me a bunch of questions while I'm trying to prepare to do comedy and organize it then.
I made that comment to Brandy the other night. Oh, when we were up at Glamour. Mm-hmm. Like, I could tell there was, your senses were starting to overload. So I asked you a question.
Yeah.
And I could tell. So I looked at Brandy and I said, I know that he, sometimes that, and so I try to be aware of that. And then other times I'm like, this is going to be funny.
Yeah. Well, like, Glamour, this wasn't that bad.
This is going to entertain me because I know his head looks like it's fixing to explode.
Yeah. At Glamour.
Let's see if we can get there.
You can get there. But at Glamour, it's not that bad because it's not my thing. I was just trying to help Terry get things organized. But the problem at Glamour was literally just, I have an idea. I can't communicate it because two people are having a fucking conversation with the guy I'm trying to talk to about shit that actually matters right now. When their conversation has nothing to do with today.
Right.
Like, Terry's working on shit. I need to tell him this now, and I'm trying to be polite. That's a hard line to toe, because I'm bad at it. I just, I'll be like, eventually I'm just like, raise my hand.
Can y'all vineyard.
Huh?
A what? Vineyard.
Oh, a vineyard. I thought you said a venue. I was like, wait, we're doing it in a fucking field? Put a microphone in that bitch. I'll tell jokes with some grapes. I don't have any grape puns. I was going to try to make a pun about grapes. We'd have a great time. There you go. Hey, it's been 30 minutes.
If your grape puns don't work out, just wait.
And they'll turn into wine grape.
You can just do raisin puns.
Oh, okay. I was thinking if your grape puns don't turn out, wait a while, and then you could do alcohol-related puns of some sort, but I don't have any.
Do you think people back in the day that made wine, you know, where they put it in the deal and they stomped it with their feet, like, did they just have purple feet forever?
Yeah.
They just stained?
Yeah.
Like, they answered the door barefoot, and you're like, oh, you make wine.
Probably. I don't know why you would answer the door barefoot, but this is back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't like to do things barefoot.
Do you wear shoes even when you're home?
Usually, yeah. Like, I wear, once I get home from work, so I have some kind of problem with one of my feet that I don't want to go to a doctor for. So I wear, like, sandals around the house and shit. I don't have, like, a pair of house shoes.
Yeah.
But ever since we switched to tile, like, ever since our living room became tile, I pretty much wear shoes almost all the time.
I have to at least have socks on since we switched to our floors, too.
I'll have socks on, and then, like, in the middle of the night, I will walk, like, if I need to just go get a water or, if I'm being honest, a Dove chocolate. Like 3 a.m. I'll walk barefoot to the kitchen and back, but generally speaking, I have socks on, socks and sandals, socks and shoes.
Like when I was a kid, and even my kids, like when, like kids' feet are just tougher.
Yeah.
Like they run barefoot up and down. Like I was the same way when I was a kid. I could run up and down a blacktop road. It's 100 degrees outside barefoot.
I didn't have shoes when we moved to Lawton for a long time because we stopped going to church. So when we stopped going to church, I didn't need shoes because the only time I wore shoes was to church.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran around. Do you know where the Vargavas house is in Lawton? That big copper dome?
Yeah.
Okay. That field behind there where it goes into Terrace Hills. We lived in Terrace Hills and our house backed up to basically their pool. Like there's a big rocky field between there. We just played out there. I played barefoot on rocks and dirt and all kinds of shit forever. And then my grandma was in town taking us shopping for Christmas presents. And we got to the mall. She realized I didn't have any shoes. And she was like, why didn't your parents put some shoes on you? You're out doing stuff. And I was like, I just don't wear shoes. And they were like, she goes, but you're going to the mall. You have to wear shoes. And I was like, we don't go to the mall. Like, I just never been to the mall. I don't know. Like, we went to United Supermarket. That was about it. Like, I don't think I had been to a Walmart at that point. I'm sure I had it when I was, like, 2 or something. But yeah. I didn't remember walking in a store that required you to have shoes on. Because most places we'd go, you know, you'd fucking go to, like, I think it was, it wasn't Williams, but whatever is Williams now.
Mm-hmm.
We went there a lot before. And I remember I didn't have to wear shoes there. But anyway, she had to go buy me a pair of sandals. This is in the winter, but sandals were the cheapest thing there, and she knew I wasn't going to fucking wear them, except that day. So she went and bought me some Payless sandals, and my parents were shocked when I came home with sandals on. So I'm outside in fucking November or December with no shoes on, and my parents are surprised that I put some sandals on. They're like, you got to wear shoes. I wasn't resisting. I just was never told to, so I didn't do it. Like, why would you? Shit didn't hurt my feet. My feet were hard as rocks on the bottom, too. Like, you could thump them and they'd click.
Yeah.
Like, they were gnarly. It was just like one callus. And that's a far, like, when people meet me today and then know that's the kind of kid I am, I think it's the thing where you put a lot of stock and you're like, oh, that kid's going to be a piece of shit. You don't know. Like, people probably thought I was going to be a hillbilly. I'm like the fucking least Oklahoman ever. I still like guns and shit. But for the most part, I'm pretty gay, you know?
Yeah.
Not out there in the wilderness.
Yeah. You wear shoes everywhere you go. You're a vegetarian.
Yep.
Yeah, you're
not... I put a thumb in my butt on Tuesdays.
You're not super oaky.
No. All right, you want to kill this podcast and we'll do another one?
Yeah, there's another cool-ass place up there on the hill, sitting in the trees.
That is a cool-ass place.
Yeah, we can kill it. This has been Matt and Andrew Makes a Podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.